But somewhere towards the end of that seven-year period, we began to realize that something wasn't right in our life and in our relationship. We had good jobs, everything on the surface looked pretty good, and yet things just weren't working. And we began to think about it, and somewhere in there we began to pray about it, I think. And God began to work in us, and we decided that we needed to give church a try. And so, after about 7 years, we took upon ourselves, we didn't know at that point, the process of spiritual disciplines. How many of you like exercise? You like exercise? Well, you just told me something about yourself, because if you like exercise, usually it means it's because you are exercised. Now, how many of you don't like exercise? Well, the reverse isn't always true. There's something to that, isn't there? Exercise. What is exercise? Exercise is doing something with your body in a way that builds muscle and stamina and those kind of endurance and those kinds of things. Well, I'm a pretty big fella. I'm not going to tell you how big in terms of weight, but I'm a pretty big fella. But about 4 months ago, I was much bigger, about 30 or 40 pounds bigger. Okay, and I come out of a family. We're big bone people. You ever heard that? Big bone people. Yeah, you're big boned. Yeah, I understand that. I'm really one of the smaller of my family members, and so I always had this excuse. Well, we're all big, but God has really been working with me over the years. I know that at least for me, I shouldn't be this big, and I began to realize at the age that I am that I need to begin to do something about it. Or I was going to begin to lose my health and have to deal with some of those things. Now, I can carry my weight pretty big because I've got, pretty good body structure, and I don't have any real health issues at this point, but I knew that I needed to do something more than I did. But to tell you the truth, I'm just really kind of lazy. And I'm blessed with healthy taste buds. And when I start eating, my health buds just get excited. And it's just hard to calm them down. So there's all these reasons why I'm a big guy. But I knew that I needed to do something different. And I began to, for years now, I've really been in conversation with God about this. And, I would really think hard about losing weight, but I just really didn't want to pay the price for doing that. But recently, God has worked in my life in a way that I've gotten more serious about that. And so I'm for a year and 9 months now, I've been exercising. I'm new wellness center in Clinton, and so I've gone to that, and I've had a pretty strenuous workout. Anybody that knows me knows that if I get doing something, I really get into it. I can't do a little bit. I have to jump in and do it all. So I have about an hour's routine that burns about 800 calories. It's been working for me. And then this past June, I began to put in the other part of that exercise, and that is pushing away from the table and not eating quite so much. Counting the calories of everything that's been in my mouth. I discovered a great truth. And that is that if you think you ought to weigh a certain amount, if you start eating the calories that maintains that weight, eventually you'll get there. And so I'm trying to develop a healthy lifestyle, a disciplined lifestyle, by eating what it takes to maintain or the weight that I want to get to. And I'm beginning to get there. And when I get there, I won't feel so bad because I'm already eating the way I should when I get there. Isn't that interesting? I've lived 57 years, and it took me that long to figure that out. exercise, physical exercise is good for us. And, you know, it's given me a lot of stamina and endurance and strength that I didn't have a year ago, 2 years ago. But discipline, spiritual discipline, is the same, operates the same way as exercise. After my wife and I had not been in church for about 7 years, we decided that we'd go to church. We didn't realize that we were beginning one of the steps in spiritual discipline. Okay? Going to church is a spiritual discipline. And just like exercising, it really is difficult when you first start. The first 2 months I started at the wellness center, I ate and it was hard to get up in the mornings and it was hard to convince myself that I want to keep doing that. But the more I did it, the easier it got. Now, I found that Wanda and I were not unusual in the sense that a lot of young adults have a period of lost time when they don't go to church. And so I'm going to make the assumption that for some of you, you didn't go to church for a while as a young adult and you came back. Do you remember what that was like, going to church after you've been gone for a while? It's hard. And so if we had some visitors this morning, we should be impressed with the fact that they took it upon themselves to suck it up and to be here this morning and to take that first step in that spiritual discipline of going to church. It's not easy. And we need to encourage people in that and recognize that beginning process of spiritual discipline is difficult. But we began to go to church. And then we started practicing another spiritual discipline. We found a Sunday school class of a small group of people, some people that we knew and some people that we'd gotten to know, and we began to go to Sunday school. And we began to practice that process of spiritual covenanting with others in the body of Christ and studying with them. Somewhere along the way, we had began to become more serious about our praying. Very basic spiritual discipline. And then we began a seven-week study with several couples in that Sunday school class studying prayer. And we used Maxie Dunham's workbook on living prayer. You know, Maxie Dunham, he's got 4011 different workbooks out now, but I think that was his first workbook on living prayer, which is very appropriate because it really is foundational to our spiritual discipline, isn't it? So going to church, praying, being in fellowship, small group fellowship, somewhere in there practicing the sacraments, which is another spiritual discipline. All of those things we began to be a part of. And as we did it, we found that it got easier, just like exercise. It got a little bit easier and a little bit easier. But at some point, we realized that the real test for us was going to be in the area of financial stewardship. In this culture of ours, you can say what you want to say, you can do what you want to do, but where you put your money is a very telling statement about where your priorities are. And so we began to give what we had in our pockets when we went to church, when we started. Somewhere along the way, we began to think about what priority supporting the work of Christ and the church was going to be in our lives. And we began to give a little bit more. But somewhere along the way, we reached a tipping point. You know what a tipping point is? It's like a seesaw. You know, you've got someone on either end of the seesaw, and if you've got somebody that weighs more on this end than somebody on this end, which way does the seesaw go? It goes that way, right? But if somebody else gets on the other end, and you add weight over here, what happens? And begins to tip. So as we became more and more involved in these spiritual disciplines, these spiritual exercises, we reach the point where we begin to realize that more and more of our priority was being put on the other end, and we were reaching a tipping point. Now, I think we all are kind of like that in all of our disciplines, but especially in our financial discipline. And figuring out what kind of priority we give that in our lives. And I'm really glad to be speaking to you. Now, we have some financial issues at my church. I'm really glad to be speaking to you because, see, you don't pay me to be your pastor, so I don't care how much money the church takes in or doesn't take in. So I'm not here to get more money for the church, okay? I want to be very clear about that. My main concern is, well, when I have people come and visit my church and I go out and visit with them, my main concern as a minister of the gospel is not that they come to my church. My main concern is that they find the church that's right for them. And so I'll sit down and talk with them about their spiritual, their church background, where they come, what they're looking for. And I may know of another church that might be a better fit for them than my church. And I have a responsibility to keep in mind that. And so it is this morning. My concern this morning is not that your church get more money. But my main concern as a minister of the gospel is that you grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And a very important part of that is how you set your priorities. And a very real indicator of how you set your priorities is what you do with your financial resources. Now, money was important to Jesus. He spoke about it more than he talked about prayer. Did you know that? And sometimes I wish he hadn't spoken about it so much. But he knew that it was important to us. And so he addressed those issues. Financial stewardship. We begin to think about how we were going to use what we had for Christ. And what our priorities needed to be for our financial stewardship. And we began to listen to the scriptures. And we begin to listen to stories like the widow who came and put the 2 pennies in the offering plate. We begin to listen to the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know, keep the commandments." And he says, "Oh, I'll keep the commandments." And Jesus says, "There's one more thing that's needful of you, and that is that you go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." Now, as far as I know, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says that you should tithe. Do you know that? I think there's a real big assumption that that's a spiritual standard, but there really is no place where Jesus says, "You know, you ought to tithe." There are many places in the Scripture where Jesus says you need to give it all. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, the Bible, the New Testament says doesn't say anything about tithing, but it does say something about giving everything you have." Now, I don't know about you, but I like the 10% deal better than I like the 100% deal. But at some point in our life, in our growth, in spiritual discipline, growing in the likeness of Christ, beginning to commit ourselves to living a life of piety, we realized that we couldn't get where Christ wanted us to get without committing ourselves to this biblical standard of piety and more, so that we knew we had the right priorities set in our lives. This morning, our scripture lesson from the lectionary is this woman who comes with this alabaster jar. Now, an alabaster jar was not just a pot piece of pottery, it was a very expensive piece of pottery. And in there was this nard that was worth a year's worth of wages. 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. 300 minus, the Sabbath days. It was a year's worth of year's wages. And she comes, and she breaks it open, and she pours it on Jesus. Jesus' head. Now, another portion of Scripture, he pours it over on his feet, wipes it off your head. She comes with this very expensive possession of hers, and she opens it, and she pours it all out on Jesus. John Ortberg suggests that we're all kind of like that in terms of what we have. We have this alabaster jar, so to speak, and what we have, everything we have is inside of there, and we work to get what we can and put inside of there, and we use those precious things to support our families and do the things we want to do. And we'll go in and we'll take the top off, and we're very careful about keeping what we can and spending what we have to. John Ortberg, in this analogy, challenges us to think about the difference between how we use what we have, our alabaster jar contents, and not how the woman used hers, but how God uses his. God gave us his most precious gift. It wasn't the nard in the alabaster jar. What was it? What was God's most precious gift? His son, Jesus Christ. He gave that to us, just like that woman gave that nard, broke it open, gave it to us. And God has done that for us, Jesus Christ. Gave us his son to be broken, bruised, crucified on the cross, without reservation, because he loves us so much. The piety of this woman is a reflection of that love of God. She brings this nard in this alabaster jar. She breaks it open, pours it on him without reservation, without concern about what she might have left. What an act of worship. What an act of care. The way we give of ourselves, our prayers, our presents, our gifts, our service, is really an extension of that. And you give of what you have in return to God, who's given us his most precious gift. 10% sounds like such a small thing. And God has given us so much. Now, you have a choice. We have this choice about responding to Christ in any of those spiritual disciplines. We can get to work as far as we can go and still feel comfortable. And we can decide that's okay, I'm doing better than other folks. Or we can decide that we want to go the whole course and be a spiritual athlete for God, to accept those spiritual disciplines, and to say to God, here I am, God, everything that I have is yours. Poured out for you, and you poured yourself out for me. That's the challenge. We can either stay where we're comfortable, or we can dare to